Hey everybody, this is Derek King with the Derek King Sports Show. We all know how important it is to stay protected. Sometimes life throws you a curve, and that's why you need Allstate. The Wiley Group has two locations in Festus and Arnold to serve you. They offer home, auto, boat, motorcycle, business, life insurance, investments, and so much more. They offer a customized approach that is unique to your situation to make sure that you, your family, and assets are properly protected. They also offer great rates and savings. Give Sean and his team a call today at 636-764-6294. They'll help you with an insurance quote right over the phone. Even give them a call if you just want to talk sports. They do that too. We all have busy lives, so you can also email Sean at SeanWiley@allstate.com and talk to him about your coverage options. And remember, you're in good hands with Allstate.
Welcome to Yakker Jack
with Brian Swope.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Part of the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is your host, Brian Swope, Papa Swope on Twitter. Welcome to Yakker Jacks. How's it going, guys? Wow, the Atlanta Braves have won the World Series. How awesome is that? Awesome, not because I'm a Braves fan. this is a St. Louis sports podcast, so we are all about the Cardinals when it comes to baseball. But I am also all about seeing a team that cheated its way to a championship not getting a championship once again. I thought it was ridiculous that those players did not get punished. I felt like they should have, and I think it just serves them right that they go in there and they get beat. I liked it when they got beat by the Nationals a couple years ago, and then now going in and getting beat by the Braves. I just think it's poetic justice, if I'm being quite honest. And I don't mean anything bad to the fans in Houston, and to the ownership who in my opinion probably didn't know what was going on, or if they did, then that's bad too. But you know, I think when it comes down to it, There's got to be fairness in this game, and I think you could say now that they're not cheating anymore, because it's, you know, two World Series since then that they've lost, and so when I look at that and I think about that, I'm like, okay, maybe now they've served enough of their sentence that they can be let off the hook, because it was awful when it happened, but it's over. You know, the Braves won. Thank you to the Braves for doing that and giving all of us in baseball fandom that satisfaction of watching Houston lose, and especially doing it in such grand fashion, 7-0 on their home field. Way to go, Atlanta. Way to go. Cannot thank you enough. So we're going to move on a little bit. First of all, before I move on too much further, I want to give a shout out to Elena Suzuki. Elena Suzuki won the Louisville Fall Harvest Festival Queen. It means nothing to you guys. It means nothing to me, but it means something to her father, who listens to the show, who also happens to be my cousin. Great for her. Great job. Her parents are proud. The family's proud. I don't understand. I don't get the whole pageant thing. Growing up in the city, in St. Louis, like we just didn't do that kind of stuff. Like that wasn't a thing, you know, where we were. But you know, living in small towns, and what I found is that it's a whole different world out there, guys. Like it's a whole different world when you're living in a small town, and like there's a queen for everything. Like every major event in a small town has a pageant attached to it, and like there's this parade that came through town, for the fall festival, and there must have been like a dozen like pageant winners like riding in these cars, and it's just more power to you if you enjoy that kind of thing, but to me, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't feel like parading my daughter around like that, but that's me. To each their own, to each their own. And Greg, I apologize if that makes you feel bad, because your daughter did a phenomenal job. So anyway, moving on here, guys, I want to, before we get into our guest, because I'm really excited about the guest we have today, I want to remind you to make sure you head over to gatewaycitysports.com. Check out all of the incredible content that we have coming out. It comes out almost daily. We've got something new coming out, something for you guys to read and to sink your teeth into. And moreover than that, you know, go and check out the other podcasts that we have over there. You know, we got the Derek King Sports Show, Team of Rivals, and 2 for 3. Go check them out, you know, and we've got new shows in the works, new things coming out soon. So make sure you go over there, check us out. You know, if you like this podcast, go on to Apple Podcasts, give us a like, subscribe. That way you get a notification every time we come out with a new show. You won't have to, you know, guess or check in. It'll notify you when we have a new show. So go over there, get that checked out, and get yourself subscribed, and look at gatewaycitysports.com and get involved with all of the content that we've got going on. I am excited this week. We have got a new guest, someone who has not been on the show before, and she's going to come on and tell us a little bit about the Blues. We're going to ask some questions and see how things are going over at Enterprise Center. But before that, it's time for the Holy Smokers guest line. And when it's time to add a little spice to your life, make your next grilling adventure a spiritual experience with Holy Smokers Rub Company. They have several different flavors to choose from, and each one is specially blended for a taste sensation that you will pray never ends. The best part about it is that all proceeds go towards helping families who are going through the process of adopting a child. So look them up on Facebook and be sure to use coupon code GCS10. That's GCS, the number 10, for 10% off your order. Holy Smokers Rub Company, bless your taste buds. Joining me today on the Holy Smokers guest line is Laura Astorian from stlouisgametime.com, covering the Blues. She is the site manager there. And I am excited to have her on and to be able to talk Blues hockey. How's it going, Laura?
Going pretty good. How are you doing?
I am doing great. It's getting a little bit chillier up here. Weather's changing, but that's okay. We can deal with it. You know, it was a hot summer, so I'm ready for a little bit cooler weather. So,
yeah, me too.
So let's jump right into it and talk about the Blues. Man, they are off to a fast start, a very fast start. You know, set the franchise record going undefeated the first 5 games, and then of course, you know, they lost that one to the Avalanche at home. But you know, you kind of could see that one coming. I think we were missing Brandon Saad and Ryan O'Reilly both for that game. So, I mean, it's not unexpected, but at the same time, you know, they were missing some players of their own as well. What do you make of this start to the season for them?
I didn't expect them to stumble out of the gate. There's no way I expected that, but I don't really think that I really fully, you know, thought that they were going to come out like this. I mean, I know a lot of the preseason predictions had them kind of like, you know, sneaking in the wild card, and everybody reads the preseason predictions and they use that to kind of like evaluate like how they expect the team is going to start. So I don't think a lot of people, they expected a good start. But I'm not sure if anybody expected the Central Division standings to look like this right now. I mean, with the Blues on top like they are, it's getting kind of top heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say impressive may actually be, not a good enough word for it. I mean, they've been sensational. And, you know, when we're looking at this team, you know, you're looking at a team that's just a few years removed from the Stanley Cup. You know, much of that core is still there for that team. What do you think the difference has been this year so far? I mean, if you could pick, you know, one thing in particular. What's different about the team so far this year than we've seen in a couple of years past?
I think there's a lot of, more cohesion to start off with. And I'm not saying there hasn't been in the past. Like, obviously, the year after they won the Stanley Cup, they did great things. But this year, it looks like everybody's on the same page. And it's not just the Stanley Cup veterans that are on the same page. It is, like, everybody from Ryan O'Reilly all the way down to Jake Neighbors is just running at full speed. And I think that that's really helped a lot because it feels like the communication's there and the communication's back, both up front and on the defense. I haven't watched a game yet where I felt like they looked discombobulated. Maybe a little bit Saturday night against Chicago. That was just, there's something about that game that just kind of felt a little off to me. But overall, I mean, everything's going on 8 cylinders right now. And I think it's because they're really working really, really well together from top all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah, you mentioned something there in particular that I'd like to touch on. Jake Neighbors. I've been watching the games, and there's something special about this kid. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time. And he's played really well, especially for a 19-year-old kid. One of the things that I really love about him, too, is he hasn't been afraid to mix it up yet. Like every game, it seems like he's getting underneath the skin of some veteran, and some veteran is like grabbing a hold of him or trying to fight him. And, you know, O'Reilly or one of the other guys has to come over and, you know, break it up and, you know, has his back, you know. And it just, it seems incredible to me that this kid's 19 years old and is doing this well. I mean, are you surprised by that?
I am a little bit, and I think part of the reason why is because it's been so long since I've watched a kid get a chance like this with the Blues, I think. I mean, he's got 9 games to play, and he is making the most of all those games. I mean, he looks like he belongs. I mean, I know there's questions about, like, you know, keeping him up here and development and all that stuff, and I completely understand that. But, I mean, he's earned his spot. Which, of course, causes a log jam because, you know, Sundqvist is supposed to be back probably in a few months. So, you know, got to figure out what to do there. But I think that's a pretty okay problem for Armstrong to have.
Yeah, so who do you think would be the odd man out? I mean, do you think Neighbors is going to be the guy that's, you know, not in the lineup at that point? Or do you see a spot for him moving forward? Because to me, he's been incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I do. Because right now I feel like the Blues, they really don't have like a fourth line. They have 3 really good lines and they have an energy line. So I think that if a spot could be found for him, which I'm sure they're not going to be a problem doing that. I think he'll hang around. I hate to say it, you know, since he's on the protocol list right now, but I really do think that Kyle Clifford is probably the odd man out of everybody. I mean, I hate saying this because he works hard and, you know, he's a really great teammate from everything that I've read, but he just, you know, he's the extra guy. He always seems to be the extra guy. So, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know if the Blues can really, you know, find any place for him if they want to keep Neighbors up and when Sundqvist comes back, rather.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think Clifford is, you know, when you talk about like just the consummate teammate, he just seems like that kind of guy, you know, that just is right there and, you know, willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to help the team win. And I wanted to pivot a little bit too, because there were some things that have surprised me this year about the Blues. You know, and there's so many different things we could talk about, but let's talk about a couple of players in particular. And then we'll talk about some other aspects of the team. But the two players in particular that have really impressed me is one is Jordan Kyrou and the way that he's come out strong. And the other is Vladdy Tarasenko. Like the guy has turned back the clock and he looks every bit, you know, the superstar that he was before, and just exactly what the Blues were hoping to get out of him. Are you surprised by Tarasenko's start? And how has Kyrou's development added to this team?
Oh, man, Kyrou has been so much fun to watch. I mean, I'm even trying to find problems finding a word to actually like describe what I think about watching him play right now. Like, he has grown in leaps and bounds over the past like three seasons. And it's just, that's the future right there.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
I didn't realize how fast he is too.
Yeah. I mean, he has got speed, and that I think has been such a big part of the Blues offense so far this season. Is like, other teams, it catches them off guard. They don't expect a player on the Blues to have wheels like that. And he does. So he can zip past just about anybody.
Yeah. And I think another thing about that too, is like, when you talk about, you know, the maturation of Jordan Kyrou and how he's developed, he's a lot more willing to shoot the puck now than he was. I think last year, I think it was Tarasenko that actually told him, look, dude, you've got the skills, shoot it more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's working out for him. I mean, and I understand him being a little bit like holding back a little bit last year, but I mean, I hate the phrase night and day, because that implies that there was something wrong previously, and there wasn't anything wrong with Kyrou previously, but like this season, he's just turned it up to another level. And I really hope that he can keep that going, because right now he is definitely a key, probably one of the top reasons that the Blues are where they are right now to start off the season. And Tarasenko, like, it's been so long since I've seen him fully healthy that I forgot what it looked like. And it has been fantastic to watch. Like, it is just, I mean, I that was one thing going in the season I was really concerned with, was just, you know, having three shoulder surgeries. Like, I know the last one obviously was the best out of the three, but, you know, going into the season, I was like, man, I hope that everything's healed up and everything's working okay, especially since Armstrong couldn't find a trade partner over the off season. Thank goodness. You know, I went from keeping my fingers crossed to being really surprised real fast.
Yeah, I still kind of keep my fingers crossed with him too, because it's like every time he gets hit, like, I cringe, and it's like, please don't get hurt. Please don't get hurt. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he looks like he's gone back in time, and he looks incredible. And it's surprised me. But, you know, again, you know, how well can a player play when they're not fully healthy? And you're right. I think all of St. Louis forgot what Vladdy looks like whenever he is healthy. Because I was one of those guys in the offseason saying, trade him, trade him, trade him. Mm-hmm. But no, he's proven me wrong for sure. He's proven a lot of other people wrong too. So looking at the team, like from a team aspect too, one of the things I've noticed, and you know, maybe you've got some more insight to this as well, but it seems like even though they're having trouble on defense, their penalty kill is, mm-hmm. has been, you know, up until just recently, the best in the league. I think they're second in the league right now. I think so. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But what's the difference there? Because it seems to me like the penalty kill in the past has been like one of the Achilles heels for this team. Like they struggled so much with the penalty kill. What's different? Like, what's changed that has made this unit so effective?
It's a good question. I think a bit of it is just that cohesion and the communication. And I always kind of, because last season, there was something about the penalty kill that just never looked right. And I know it got better as the season went on, because at the start of last season, it was just not pleasant to watch. But even by the end of last season, they finished like, what, close to middle of the road for the league, I think, in the penalty kill. But I think that they started to build off of where they were at close to the end of last season. And then they just continued that work forward. Like, they knew that that was their area where they needed to work on stuff. And they did. I mean, I do think that part of the issue last year, too, may have been kind of the revolving door that the Blues had going on there for a little while, because that makes it so hard to get chemistry and cohesion, especially on the special teams. But I do really think, though, that this season they've really, really, really picked it up a huge amount. And I think a lot of that has been the consistency, and a lot of that has been the communication.
Yeah, and, you know, again, last year, I mean, you're throwing, you know, Torrey Krug into the mix, and, you know, we lost, you know, Petro. I mean, so there was a lot, you know, that got shook up there. So, I mean, I can understand that, but I didn't know, or at least I didn't see this huge of a turnaround coming on the penalty kill. And I just, it's been fun to watch this team.
Oh, it's been great.
Yeah. So, looking forward, obviously, right now we've got Saad and O'Reilly, and now Ville Husso in COVID protocols. Now they're supposed to get Saad back this week when they play the Kings, correct?
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be back tomorrow night. So he comes back right when Clifford goes off too on protocol. So it's like a revolving door. Not in a good way.
Yeah, it's not. But, you know, they seem to have weathered the storm so far. And I think your point to just the cohesion and the communication, I think really has helped this team. I mean, you look at you're losing your captain, and yet you're still going out and playing hard. Yeah, they lost to the Avalanche and looked awful doing it for the first, you know, two periods. But they really came on strong there at the end, and they had a chance. You know, they really had a chance, I think, to pull a win out there. You know, and they're doing that without, you know, two of their best players. This team is showing some resiliency this year, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, credit Berube for getting this team, you know, ready to play this season. But coming out of the gate, man, they have been so strong. I think there's 14 different players have scored goals so far for the team.
Something like that, yeah.
And so it's like it's almost like a wealth of players who can actually score, and it's not like they're not relying on one or two, you know, different players, you know. And so talk about that aspect a little bit. Like how has overall player development really helped this team? Because you look at, you know, all the different guys that are scoring goals. Mm-hmm. There really does seem to be more cohesion and communication. So, you know, how does that work? I mean, it just seems so different.
It really does. I think a big part of it, has been, like you said, like so many guys have scored that it makes it a little less scary when one of them goes down. Like, nobody was thrilled about the possibility of Perron possibly missing like the first game of the season. Thank goodness he didn't. And, you know, when O'Reilly went down, like a lot of the fans, obviously, we're not super happy about that because he's our main faceoff guy. But, like, it's like the team just looked at that and went, all right, well, we got to suck it up and deal with it. And just went right back out there and did what they needed to do. I mean, I was shocked in the Colorado game. They actually, they won the faceoffs, like, by, like, 54% to 46%, I think. Like, I was not expecting that with O'Reilly out. So it feels like they know whenever somebody goes down that somebody else has got to step up if they want to win. And sometimes in the past couple seasons, it kind of felt like, you know, so many folks went down one right after the other. The team was just like, we don't really know what to do. So I don't know if they've, you know, taken the lessons from that and gone forward, or if they've just kind of internalized, hey, you know, stuff happens and we need to learn how to cope with it, especially this season with COVID still being a problem. You know, and guys have to be put on the protocol list and you never can tell when it's going to happen. You know, I think that the team mentality is, you know, okay, something happened that's less than ideal, but it's okay. We have to keep going. And I think that's really made all the difference. That and guys like Torrey Krug really stepping up, really having his Justin Faulk moment, I think. has really, really, really helped him out a lot. And I think that offense from the back end that Krug's starting to apply and put out there is really, I feel like it's kind of like pushing the team a little bit, like just that tightness on defense is pushing the rest of the team forward.
Yeah, it's almost like he's going from Stanley Cup villain to like a fan favorite. I mean, he really has, and I think it's awesome to watch. So speaking of the Stanley Cup, because we're almost out of time, small sample size to be sure, you know, six games into the season, but sitting atop the division and, you know, playing strong, realistically, what are the chances that this team is looking at making a deep run?
I mean, if they can continue the way that they're playing right now for the rest of the season, I know it's 82 games, and there's always a period around December or January where it kind of feels like they're getting tired and they get back to normal again. I think they can make a good run. It just matters if either they keep staying healthy or they keep coping with guys going down the way that they're coping with it. I know sometimes in the past, like if like Jaden Schwartz went down, the rest of the team just like stopped skating for like 10 games. But I mean, it's like they've gotten past that, like, well, we're done kind of mentality, and they're just pushing. So I think if they can keep that, they can go pretty far. I mean, I hate making predictions because I'm literally never right. But I do think, though, that there's a possibility, especially if some of the big teams keep, you know, keep kind of floundering the way that they're going right now. I think there's a good possibility for a good run.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, Laura, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. You are more than welcome to come on and help contribute to our Blues content. And Laura, can you tell the listeners where they can find you, like where you're at on social media, where they can find your work, and just a general idea?
Yeah. We're at stlouisgametime.com over on SB Nation. And you can follow us on Twitter either at St. Louis Game Time, which is a main account, or at Hildy Mac, which is mine.
Okay, awesome. Again, that is Laura Astorian from stlouisgametime.com. And I want to thank her once again for being here. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So before we sign off, I think that it would be wrong of me to go through this entire show and not address the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, they went ahead and promoted bench coach Ali Marmol to manager, and I think it's a good move. I want to say that it's a good move. I like Ali. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a great coach. I think he's also a proponent of the Cardinal way, but may seem to kind of fit more the mold of what Mozeliak and the rest of the front office want. There were other people interested. Saw today on KMOX, or no, yesterday. It was yesterday on KMOX. I saw an article came out, said Matt Holliday was interested in the position. That his agent actually reached out, but they didn't really hear anything back. They still have a bench coach slot to fill. We'll see how that goes. The assistant hitting coach is now not coming back. So I think there's room for some ex-Cardinals to come back in and be a part of this team. I think Holliday as the assistant hitting coach would be phenomenal. I think Skip Schumacher should be contacted about the bench coach position. I just think that the team, for all of my getting on to Mo about the firing of Mike Schilt, I really do think that that he does know what he's doing. We like to gripe as fans, but he seems to know what he's doing. I mean, he's put together a winning ball club that has made the playoffs 3 years in a row. So good on him. Good luck to Ollie and the team. I can't wait. Now that the World Series is over, we get into the off season, and the hot stove will heat up as soon as the CBA is done. So let's hope that they get a collective bargaining agreement done quick, so that way we can get back into talking about the thing that we love to talk about when it comes to baseball, and that's the game itself. So hopefully they get that done, and we will see if that happens. I'm not sure if it will. We may be looking at another labor strike in baseball, which I think would just be terrible for the game. So owners, players, get together, get this figured out, and get it figured out quick, because you're going to lose some fans over this if you don't. That's all we got for today. And I want to thank you guys again for joining us, for being here and enjoying the show. I hope you enjoy the show. Again, if you like us, go on to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. Subscribe, give us a like, and let us know that you appreciate what we're doing. And also give us some feedback. If there's anything else that you guys would like for us to cover or you would like to hear us talk about, by all means, drop us a line. You can drop us a line at YakkerJacks on Twitter, or you can drop me a line at Papa Swope on Twitter. Either way, and we would love to have your feedback and hear back from you. So in the meantime, we will see you all again next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Be good out there, be blessed, and have a great week.